Well, good morning. We're in the series of one another's, and so we're going to be doing a one another this morning. We're going to be doing be kind to one another. And I think that's important, so let me pray and we'll get started. Father, we thank you for this day and thank you for your word and thank you for Jesus and all of his words and all of his teaching. Pray now for your blessing this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Be kind to one another. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Now, I'm quoting everything from the ESV this morning. So if you have an ESV or following along, it's the ESV. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. And we're looking at kind. There's three things in this verse: kind, tenderhearted, forgiving. Now they're all tied together. They all hook together, and really, the end goal is forgiving one another, because that's where it really gets down to the point of solving interpersonal relationships and even solving your own issues by granting forgiveness. But kindness is certainly a part of that important first step. Now, be kind, and there's kind, and there's nice. You know, you can be kind and you can be nice, but they're not the same. You can be nice, but not necessarily kind. And you can be kind, but not necessarily nice. I had a team member several years ago that when I was traveling on the road with a team, and this guy was quite a bit younger than me, quite a bit, but he told me one day, and I don't know what I'd done, I don't remember that part of the story, I just remember what he said to me. He said, you know, as old as you are, you ought to be a better Christian than you are. Now, was that nice? No. Was it kind? Yes. Because I needed to hear it. He said something I needed to hear, because obviously there were things that I was, you know, in my earlier Christian days, I was a little just out of the business world and tended to run over people more than I do now, if you can imagine that. But anyway, and so he just told me, and it was not nice, but it was kind. And many times, people need to be kind more than they need to be nice. Now, we can all be nice. You can come and, I mean, you all are nice. You're smiling. You probably took a shower at some point in the last 24 hours. And, you're nice. But kind is another story, and we're going to talk about that this morning, because being kind and being nice is not the same thing. Now, this is a picture, two brothers walking down the road, and I'm going to kind of focus on the little guy, and I just think he's a nice boy. I mean, he's not kicking rocks. He's not pulling back. He's just walking along with his older brother, whoever that is. He's just being a nice boy, right? But now here is a kind boy. Notice the boy with the blonde hair, and he's got his grandma or some older woman by the hand. I think he's carrying her purse, and he's helping her. She's got a cane, and he's helping her. He's actually giving of himself to help somebody else do something, and that's being kind. Kind is more than just being nice. Kind has another step to it beyond nice. Now, nice versus kind. Nice is having high standards of conduct. You know, we want our kids to be nice. And when we leave them somewhere or take them somewhere, what do we tell them? Be nice. So having high standards of conduct, agreeable, pleasant. And kind, though, is another step. It's being sympathetic. It's being beyond myself. It's looking for the needs of others, friendly and gentle and tender-hearted and generous. Now, kind, like I said, is another step beyond being nice. You can be nice and be stingy. You can be stingy nice, nice and stingy. But if you're kind, you're probably going to be generous and giving and more interested in others than you are in yourself. So kindness, or the act of being kind, is a fruit of the Spirit. Now, as we go through the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, we see that there's love, there's joy, there's peace, there's patience, kindness, there's goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, a fruit of the Spirit is empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's a work of grace by God's power. We do not have the power within ourselves to love another person unconditionally. We can't do it. You can love them for what you might get back. You can tell them you love them. But loving another person unconditionally means that you are willing to give of yourself for their good without expecting anything in return. And that's hard to do. We don't do that apart from God's power working in our lives by grace. So it's Holy Spirit empowered. It is a fruit of the Spirit. It's not something we produce in fleshly power. Now, a lot of us have, you know, I use the term spiritually house trained. You know, we're pretty good. We, we kind of know how to act, especially when we come to church. We come to church and we're fairly civil. You know, I haven't seen many fights in church, a few, but typically we don't fight in church and we don't cuss or other stuff that we might do, you know, in the car when we get home, but spiritually house trained and kind of learning how to do all the right stuff. But there's another level of actually living a Spirit-filled life, and we only do that, these fruit of the Spirit, are only by the power of God through His grace. So that is kindness, or the act of being kind, is a fruit of the Spirit. And in other words, in our own strength, we're not going to be a kind person. We cannot be kind to one another in our own strength. We have to be calling on God for grace. Now, the way that works, and I'll probably say this two or three times, but the way that works is I'm confronted with a need, and the need may be just to be kind. I may not feel like being kind to a certain person, but I know I need to be kind, so what do? I cry, God, help me. God, give me the grace to be kind to this person. And the Scripture promises that when I cry out to God in my need for grace, He gives it liberally. All I need, He just pours grace into my life so that I can do what I need to do by the power of God. Now, there's spirit and there's flesh. Flesh is the natural. That's the default position. That's what we do just naturally. This is who we are apart from God. And the works of the flesh are in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. And this is the list. I didn't make this list. It's in the Bible. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions. And there's so many, it takes another page. More works of the flesh. There's only 9 fruit of the Spirit, but works of the flesh, there's many, and you'll see there's even more that are not listed. There's divisions and envy and drunkenness and orgies and things like these. He just kind of run out of the list. He said, well, anything else that I can't think of, it's on there too. So the works of the flesh, or what we do in our natural state, just just, you know, somebody, you know, sometimes we're told, well, just be yourself. No, don't be yourself. You know, be who Christ meant you to be. Be filled with the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Live by grace. So works of the flesh and the lesser or more acceptable works of the flesh. And I say more acceptable works of the flesh because these are the probably ones we do, okay? And if we're doing them, we say, well, it's not quite as bad as some of that other stuff. Because we like to go through the list and say, well, I haven't killed anybody. And I haven't been sexually immoral or whatever else, you know. So we kind of go through the list and we kind of gauge ourselves based on what we're not doing. And we kind of get these more acceptable works of the flesh, which is strife and jealousy, rivalries. Now, there's a lot of friendly rivalries, and I'm not saying it's wrong to be a Cubs fan or whatever. I'm just saying that there's rivalries, and and there's envy. There's nothing wrong with being a Cubs fan. I just used that as an illustration. Envy, and now, the contrasting fruit of the Spirit for those things that would be fairly common in our midst, strife, jealousy, rivalries, dissensions, envy, those are things that just go on, you know, we're kind of looking at each other's lives and hearing stuff, and we are judging and thinking this and thinking that, and so that's kind of the more acceptable works of the flesh. But the contrasting fruit of the Spirit is kindness and goodness and gentleness. Those are three that would be kind of, you know, as we feel ourselves being jealous or feeling ourselves just the rivalries and, you know, all this is centered in so many things. We're thinking, somebody else thinking something else. We don't agree. And so we're kind of just saying, well, my idea is better than your idea. And you know how it goes. But the contrasting fruit of the Spirit is kindness, goodness, and gentleness. So rather than succumbing to the energy and the desires of the flesh, we choose against the flesh and we choose to be kind. By the power of God. And so it's a choice. I choose to be kind. Now, being nice is passive. I mean, you can come in here and you can be whatever, and you can put a big smile on your face, and we all think you're just fine. You're nice. You're being nice. And we don't really know because we haven't poked you. If we poke you, we may find out that what's inside will come out. And usually that happens, but we can most. But it's fairly passive. You can just sit and smile and be nice. Being kind is active and purposeful. Let me share you a story out of 2 Samuel chapter 9. The story of Mephibosheth. You know who he was? He was the son of Jonathan, who was the friend of David. And you know that whenever... And, of course, Jonathan was the son of Saul, and Saul was the king, and David was coming to the throne, and Saul didn't like it, so he chased after David for years, tried to kill him, and Jonathan was David's friend, and Jonathan and David had an agreement that David would protect and care for Solomon and for his children and whatever. So anyway, Saul and Jonathan are killed in a battle, and some other sons of Saul were killed too. And when this was all taking place, Mephibosheth was a child, was taken by a nurse, and as she was carrying him out, trying to escape, she fell and he was injured, and the scripture said he was lame in both feet. Now, David had now become king. Saul was dead. And David ruled 7 years in Judah and then came to the throne in Jerusalem. And he said one day in chapter 9, 2 Samuel, is there still anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Anybody I can show him kindness? So it was a, you know, what can I do? What can I, is there something I can do for this person to show him kindness? So now there was a servant in the house of Saul named Ziba, and he said, I am Ziba. And so he asked, and the king said, is there still, this is in verse 3, is there not still someone of the house of Saul that I might show the kindness of God to him? Now David was wanting to do a kind act to Mephibosheth. So they found him. They said, well, they said, where is he? And he said, he's in Lodabar. Now Lodabar is a place, it's a basically means place of no bread. It was a wilderness place, a desert place, a place where there was, you know, where there was certainly not much. So David said, bring him here. I want to show kindness to him. So they went and brought Mephibosheth to David. Now Mephibosheth would have some fear. Obviously, he was a potential heir to the throne because he was a descendant of King Saul. Typically, when kings took over, they killed everybody of the other family so there'd be no rivalries. Heard that word before, haven't you? So anyway, I want to show him kindness. So he brings him and he tells him, he said, I'm going to do an act of kindness. And he restored his land. He said, I'm going to give you the land back that your grandfather had. And Ziba's going to take care of it for you. In addition to that, you get to eat at my house every day. You can put your feet under my table and you can eat my food. So that's what he did. Restored his land and hospitality with King David. Now, nice was not cutting off his head. That was nice. Kind was much more than just being nice. Kind was actually establishing him in a really good life. So being nice is passive, and David, he said, I want to show kindness to Mephibosheth. So he did, and he gave him land and hospitality. Now, the next word in that verse, be kind to one another, tender-hearted. Now, tender-hearted is kindness. Kindness is tender-hearted. It just means that we're reaching out. We're a little more than just nice. We're sympathetic. We're compassionate. We're generous. And in Psalm 126, verse 6, and I know this is a verse commonly used to challenge people to go out and share the gospel, but he who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy. Anytime we have a need to be kind, to reach out to somebody, to show kindness to them, we need to do it with a tender heart. And the scripture says, he who goes out weeping, which means tender-hearted, broken, and realizing that this is something I want to do, this is something I need to do, this is something I'm doing out of a heart of compassion and sympathy and care. So tender-hearted, and then in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, brothers, this is an admonition by the Apostle Paul, and this is an act of kindness. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Now, there are times when we know that somebody is living a life or doing things they should not be doing. And we know it, and they seem to be doing it with impunity, and we have to make some assumptions on our own. But we assume, well, maybe they just don't know what they're doing. Maybe they just need to be encouraged. So in that case, we would go to them in a spirit of gentleness and brokenness, tender-hearted, and say something to them about what they're doing. I know that I've had people come to me and say, you know, I may be wrong, but here's what I see in your life. I see this going on. And I know you don't want to be that way. I know you don't want to do that. And that's kindness. That's tenderhearted. That's coming in a spirit of restoration. That's coming in a spirit of gentleness and saying, you know, I just want you to know that I care about you and I see these things in your life and I just want to tell you. Now, I know we don't do that much because it's scary. A lot of risk of that because a lot of people, they don't want you to get that close. They don't want you to get in their life to the point that you might say something like that. But it needs to be done. A Christian life, discipleship, and love is giving people what they need rather than what they want. Kindness can put you at risk when you give somebody what they need rather than what they want. We all want to just be encouraged and patted on the back. But sometimes somebody needs to give us a kick in the pants. And sometimes a kick in the pants can be kinder than a pat on the back if we need a kick in the pants. Amen? Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. That's the verse just preceding this one. All these are works of the flesh. Let it be put away. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander. Now, you know, I tell you, that's a pretty hard list. As our teams go from church to church to church across this country and we get back, you know, we get something back from the teams called Dear Team Letters. And Dear Team Letters are when after the session's over, you know, and the team is on their last night, they'll pass out a piece of paper to everybody in the audience and they say, okay, we would like for you to write a letter to the team and tell us what God has done in your life. Just say, dear team, God found me here and this is what has happened to me. This is what God has done in my life while in this meeting. Give glory to God. And then they take those, what's called dear team letters, and they compile those, and most of us in the ministry get a copy of those or a compilation of those. Sometimes we don't get all of them, but then we get a list of the dear team letters from each church. And I would say that 90% of the dear team letters involve bitterness. Somebody that was hurt or somebody that had something happen to them and they were holding a grudge or they were just whatever. And through the course of the meeting, through the course of the teaching and preaching, God worked in their heart to tell them to put that aside and forgive. So let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Lay aside the works of the flesh, be kind to one another, and walk in the Spirit and in grace, and be kind. Now, I know the verse also says forgiving one another, but I'm going to leave that one alone because that'll be a whole nother message at another time, and that's a big one, forgiving one another and all the different things of that. I'm just going to leave that alone and just talk about kindness today. So here we are again. Be kind. There's the two little boys being nice, but this is kind. Keep these pictures in your mind and think. Is there somebody I need to be kind to? David went out of his way. Said, I want to find somebody of the house of Saul so I can show kindness to them. Maybe today you need to be kind to the Vacation Bible School program. And you can be kind to the Vacation Bible School program by eating a taco and putting $20 in the box, huh? Would that be kind? Right? Whatever. But you know, I think you get the idea. Kindness versus nice. Let me pray. Father, help us to be kind people. Help us to reach beyond ourselves and help us to be people who are beyond just being nice, but people who are seeking to be kind and reaching out to meet the needs of others, sometimes at our own expense. Thank you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're going to go into the communion, and I want to do something a little different today. I have this candle here. It's not a real pretty candle, but it's a candle. And we want to talk about Eastertide. I had never heard of Eastertide till the other day. Eastertide is a period of time between Easter and Pentecost. It's a 50-day period, 50 days from Easter to Pentecost. In the early church, they felt like that just celebrating Easter on one Easter Sunday wasn't enough. And I know we had a great Easter celebration around here. We started out on Highway 12 at the sunrise and came here and all kinds of Easter celebration. And that's fine. But I just want to, today, since we're still in that period, we're still in Eastertide, I just wanted us to kind of take this special emphasis on Eastertide. And here's what they do. On every Sunday between Easter and Pentecost, that period of 50 days, every Sunday, the pastor would come and he would light a candle. And he would light a candle, the Eastertide candle, if it will light. So they would light the Eastertide candle, and the pastor would say, "Alleluia, Christ is risen." And the people would respond, and they would do that every Sunday during Eastertide. And since we're coming to the Lord's table this morning, I just want to use that as a backdrop for the Lord's table. And if we can have the men to come forward and just talk about in this particular setting, Paul, as he gave instructions in 1 Corinthians, he said on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and he goes through the instructions. The last word he says, as often as you do this, it shows forth the Lord's death till he comes. Now, I want to talk just a minute about the Lord's death. The Lord's death was a little bit different than most, because he died to be raised from the dead, never to die again. His death was literally going after death. He died, he was buried, and he was resurrected. The Lord's death gives us hope for eternity. Death no longer rules. Death is not king anymore. Jesus is king. He conquered death. And as we observe the Lord's death, we observe the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. And as we celebrate it on Easter, I want to celebrate today the same way. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. He's risen indeed. Amen. Now, Paul said, Jesus took bread, he gave thanks, and he distributed. So let me pray, and then we'll pass the bread. Father, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his sacrifice. Thank you for the death on the cross. Thank you for the resurrection. Now, Lord, I pray that you would bless our time together as we partake of these elements of communion. Amen. Hold on to yours till we all get them, and we'll partake together.